Good morning, church. Can you hear me? Hello, Amy. Where'd Amy go? Oh, there's Amy. It's good. I thought you were in the corner, sleeping in the back. So last week, we started a bit of a quick series on church planting. And when I say planting, I mean planting. Or when I say planting, I mean planting, okay? So just to iron out any translation issues, they mean the same thing. So don't, and in my best Canadian, I will try my hardest to help you guys, and you guys can help me. I'm going to fast forward right to the end quickly, because whenever you invite children into anything, you never know what you're going to get. You guys agree with me? It's like Leonard says, let's all keep quiet for 3 to 7 minutes with a room full of kids. You never know what you're going to get. So I haven't told them yet, but they're practicing for their Christmas concert, and the way I want to end is I want to open that door, grab the kids from the back room, and have them stand in front of us over here. Okay, and then your job is going to be to pray for them. Okay, whether that's to come up and lay hands, which I know some of the leaders in the front, because they're right up here, they'll do. But maybe you have a child in kids ministry that comes out, and you have a prayer for them, and I want to encourage you to do that. Okay, now you're not going to know why we're going to do that. And like I said, with kids, it's very unpredictable. So this is the plan. I don't know if it'll quite work out as great as what I have envisioned in my head. So I didn't want to prep them too much because just in case, you never know. Okay, so we started a series on church planting and it's ending today, so you know how quick that goes. Yesterday, last week we introduced it, this week we're ending it, and that's as simple as it gets for church planting. The trick here is I can give you the 17 methods as to how to do it. I can tell you what works and what doesn't and what in context. But rather than doing that, I'm going to go after the heart and speak to something that's real for me in it. And maybe that's why I got asked to share a sermon on it or a preach on it, is because it is a heart transaction. It is something that you've got to intrinsically know God is dealing within you in order to do it and in order to be a part of it and in order to inspire it. Okay, so you guys ready? We're going to, if you have your Bible here today, I want you to open up to Psalm 92. It's in the Old Testament. It's in all the, during our week of fasting this last week, the 3 days, Tuesday through Thursday, I read through the Psalms and this one stuck out at me to preach on. When we fast, nothing seems to work, except maybe prayer, because that's the only thing that I need to sit down and focus on. If I was trying to prepare for anything, if I was trying to shovel the driveway, nothing seemed to work out as well, and I was bitterly cold. Does anyone get cold when you don't put food in your body? I know Ken was saying on the Tuesday night how bitterly cold he was. He was wearing 6 jackets. And anyway, it was good for us, and it's good for us to focus on what God's saying. Before we read that, I just want to give thanks to my mom. And I often give my roots, my growing ups, a bit of a hard rap because of the life I found in church now and the relationship I have with my kids. And I had to repent this last week just in terms of not thanking my mom enough for what she sowed into me as a little boy growing up. Because I have vivid memories of the Methodist Church in Stilfontein, which is a little town in the middle of nowhere, and I still remember the kids' room where we would learn about Jesus, where we would learn Bible stories, where we would color in, where we would take that little piece of paper, as I see our kids do here, where they run to the front of the church and they're like, Daddy, look what I drew. So vivid in my mind, and I don't know if I've ever, now she's not here, maybe she'll hear it, I don't know. I just want to say thank you to my mom for taking me to church. And if you're a parent here, don't think what you're doing is not meaning something to them for a future that you don't even know yet. Also, just I think about my high school career, and every morning we used to sing the Lord's Prayer. You've heard me sing it actually from the front here. Sing the Lord's Prayer and do hymns and do a Bible devotion. This is in a high school. And I look at high schools nowadays, and unless you're in a Christian school, that doesn't happen. And I'm thankful that I got to do that. and that they stood for that, and that was part of the public school system there, where they prioritized it and believed in it. And and then I'm thankful that I found a local church. Even though I went there under false motives, I went there because my girlfriend went there, and she just said, well, why don't you come? And that's Helen sitting in the front here, and that's 20-odd years ago. And what I fell in love with was a people that were resolved to loving the Word of God, to loving the Holy Spirit, and then to work it out through relationships. There was a reality to it. And I'm thankful for that. Leonard shared on Wednesday evening, he just said that he doesn't know whether it's Nicky Gumbel's thoughts or it's his own. And then I went home and I read a David Campbell book, and the same points were there for prayer. Okay, and they use the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. Prayers of adoration, prayers of confession, prayers of thanksgiving, and prayers of supplication. So it's obviously not a Nicky Gumbel thing, and it's not a David Campbell thing, and it's not a Leonard thing, and it's definitely not a my thing. This is a biblical thing that we find when it comes to prayer. And I'm thankful for a church that prays. I wanted to start off with that thanksgiving because it's the easy one for us. Sometimes we think that supplication is the easy one, you know, asking God, I need this, I need my business to succeed, I need my... But we should be thanking God for everything that he's doing in and through us all the time. So we start off with Psalm 92. And before we read it, the heading in that psalm is, it's a psalm, a song for the Sabbath. When you think of the Sabbath, that is what we are doing, part of what we are doing today. It's become, this is a day of rest for people. We come to the house of the Lord. We sit together. We hear his word. We sing. We trust that he would speak to us. And this is part of what I want to talk about, because we, in church planting, you could imagine that what we want to do is we just want to take what we know and then we want to multiply it out to somewhere else and then do it again. So if we had a building with 300 people, we want to take 20 people out, we want to move to the next place, we want to put down another building with 20 people, and hopefully it will grow to 300 where we will replicate that. Now, in theory and in business structure, that makes perfect sense. Why not? Why not do this multiplication thing? People get smart, maybe do a site because the preacher's really good, so therefore he can just speak into the camera and then it gets broadcast all over. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't hear me wrong. But the idea behind it is that people come together. Okay, so my big thing here today is that church isn't a place. It's about the people. Okay, it's a people and it's where you planted. And we are going to go back to, rather than the church planting being totally outward, I wanted to start with us being totally inward here. Planted. And if you're visiting today, know that this is an invitation to you to either get in here, put down some roots, or it's to find the place where God has you and then go deep. So let's read this. Psalm 92, verses 12. The righteous will flourish like the date palm. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of Yahweh. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still prosper in old age. They will be fat and luxuriant to declare that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock, and there is no justice in, and there is no just injustice in him. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and to our minds, and may we hear and obey what he has to say. So maybe just to define church again, ecclesia, coming together, called out ones, and a fancy definition here says the church is an assembly of those who have been called out by God to be conformed to the image of Jesus, it's what we believe, and which exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not yet part of it. So what we have come from South Africa 12 years ago, when we started this church, it was to envision and enable this very thing. Okay? We came to exist not for the benefit of ourselves, but for the benefit of others, pulling people together and then making a stand for Jesus. So then my question to you is, what's the difference about coming to church and being the church? Okay, because you can come that you might not necessarily be. You might not be involved or be rooted in. And this is where we come to the scripture. There's a phrase in there called house of the Lord. And it's often referred to as the temple. So it's referred to this place, like where we would come together. But if you read through the Psalms more, it can also refer to the people, us, the family. And I want to say that this is not just a case of coming to the house, but it's a case of being together as a people for our purposes here today. So how do you know if you are planted in a church? Like, if you say that you are here today, saying, I'm planted, this is my church, what are the evidences that we can see that you would be? Okay, and I have two things here today called spiritual growth and spiritual fruit. Partly because of what we see here, them talking about the palm trees and the cedars in Lebanon. In reading it, I got a picture of this palm tree, and I'm going to ask Christian just to cue it and play it. It's a little video clip. I want you to look at this palm tree. And there we go. Look at it. It's getting there. Can you see that palm tree? Hey, flourishing like a palm tree. Flourishing like a palm tree. See the other trees lying there on the ground? Okay, flourishing like a palm tree. And you can leave that one up there. So when I read it, flourishing like a palm tree, I got that picture in my head. By the way, I saw this and I was like, man, it must be so nice to be rooted in like a palm tree on the beach in Hawaii. It's amazing. And then God reminded me about why and how these palm trees behave when there's hurricanes. I mean, I'm sure Amy can tell us about how nice when the wind blows, and when it blows, it blows. And you saw the destruction of other trees, they've been thrown aside, but those palm trees just stood. And they were, I actually searched for one that was bending and that would be swung back, but there weren't any of those. It was just these where they stood firm in the storm. And this psalmist is saying, the righteous will flourish like those the date palms, the palm trees, in the sunshine and the joy and the great seasons, as well as in the seasons where it feels like everything is coming against you. You can stand. And it's the reason, and I'm sure I'll get to some more about it, it's because of their root system. Because I asked the question, why do they stand? Why isn't it that they get blown off like that? And when you look at the root system of that palm tree, over time, it grows, but their roots just branch out like this, and they keep on going down and down and in and entangling into one another. And when we bring this into a church environment, we get involved in people's lives, and we start to get to know one another, and we trust one another, and we shoot out another root over there where we bring someone in, maybe we trust a bit more, and our root system goes down deeper, and it gets entrenched, and we start to feel like there's security, so that when that storm comes, and I don't want to mention things, maybe contracts get lost, maybe losing a job, maybe getting a new job in a terrible place, I don't know, when the storm comes, you're able to stand. Yeah. Yeah. And when the storm goes, you can look like that, and just, wow, it is good to be planted like that palm tree. Yeah. The next tree they mention there is the cedar of Lebanon. And we helped plant a church in South Africa called Cedars Church. And one of the scriptures they used was this one. And a cedar tree takes 100 years to grow to their full potential and full capability. So that's a 130-foot tree. Solid tree. 100 years worth of growth. In order for you to grow like a cedar, you need to be planted, knitted in. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't take 100 years. Like, we're still working on Leonard. We're not near 100 yet. Yeah. But be planted. And my challenge to you would be, if you're not growing spiritually, then What's holding you back? Maybe it is on the outside where you are just looking in. And we'll get to some reasons as to why you wouldn't see fruit and why you wouldn't. Maybe you need to be challenged to step into, to open your, I think of it as like a big hug, instead of just holding on the whole time, like sometimes my daughter does. She like grabs hold and she just doesn't want to let you go. And no matter where you go, she holds on. But it's to actually open up and say, I'm here to be used by you, Lord. This is the place where I believe I am. What is it that I'm here to do? And show me. All of these things are rooted in Jesus. And it comes to verse 13 where it says, you planted in the house of Yahweh. That is with God's people. And the challenge here would be, what is your relationship like with Jesus? How are we seeing it outworked? So I mentioned that there's spiritual growth and I mentioned the trees, but what about the spiritual fruit aspect of it? Because this is another way, another evidence to know whether or not you're planted in a healthy community with healthy people. And fruit, I'm not even going to go in depth anywhere. We did a whole season of it with men's ministry. But I will mention a few things because Jesus mentioned them and said that they were important. Right before he went to the cross in John 15, 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So if you are a disciple of Jesus, then you've been appointed by him and that you should bear fruit. Right? Yeah. Good. And then even in that being, just before he went to the cross, just backtrack a bit to 15:18 in John 15, verse 8, sorry. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So not to go into every bit about what fruit is personal. Fruit is something that happens inside you and me. Fruit is something that you'll see come to the forefront as you walk out your Christian walk. Galatians 5 mentions the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, against these there is no law. We should be living them out. And if you're genuinely planted inside of a church, if you're genuinely planted inside of this community, it should flow out of you, these fruits. And where you struggle, there are friends, again, think of that root system, that come alongside you to keep you on track, keep you mindful of what's happening. Bearing fruit is also outward. So with it being personal, it's also outward. There is an outward outworking of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We need to be producing disciples that are producing fruit. So in our ministries where we find ourselves and we start to walk roads with people and people start to experience more of what Jesus means to them in their lives, the fruit of the Spirit should be coming up and welling up inside of them to show what it is that is good for them, for this church. So how do you get planted in a church? How do you make this your church? Okay, step one is that you come through the doors. And I'm looking at this. I'm glad you came this morning. I mean, if it's your first time, thank you for being part of the sermon illustration. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for being a part of it. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted. We ask ourselves often, are we in an environment here that is welcoming to people, that we can create the atmosphere to hear the gospel being preached, which is what I trust us as leaders would do whenever we get the opportunity to speak through a mic. Is that we would proclaim Jesus and why we do this. It's not only to make us feel good about gathering people together, it's about showing Jesus, asking people to confess, like that second the scene acts, you know, put that up on a wall somewhere, I'm sure. And then to believe and walk out what Jesus has called us to do. Once you've come through the door, I'd love to hear you commit. And Jesse proved this point to me this morning. We were standing over there before prayer, and Jesse, the guy that was just up over here now, And I'm going to maybe have him come back up and share a little bit in a little second. See, Corey, I did do it. Me and Corey, Corey's holding the baby so that he doesn't have to come up and talk. But I can hold the mic, don't worry, Corey. No, that's what it is. Corey made the joke at Life Group on Thursday that if I just call him up, he's going to quickly run to the washroom. And so he is actually primed for it. I've got to be careful. I would ask you to, after you've come through the doors, I'd ask you to commit. And what does that look like and what does that mean? It means that when you start to have conversations with people, you hold this body, this house, in high regard and actually say that this is my place. We don't have a membership. We don't sign you up. We don't put out a big list that says that you'll be here forever in 3 days, although we want you to be. But the idea behind it is that you would make a heart transaction with Jesus and you would say, this is my community. This is where I want to be. And this is what I want to, this is where I want to outwork my calling. I want to be discipled and then disciple people. Know that it doesn't just stop there. I'd love you to grow. Does that make sense? So through this discipleship process, you say, oh, I'm in. But that doesn't mean that you just sit and don't do anything. And in terms of growing, I would encourage you to get involved in all the different aspects of the church. I think of Jen standing up here saying, yeah, we have a newcomer's lunch. And if you are new, that's a great place to come and be a part of. You'll get a glimpse into what the church is about. Come and find out whether I can commit. And if you have already, but you haven't been to a newcomer's, come, enjoy the food, share your testimony of what God is doing. I think of Taylor and Victoria, the couple right here in the front row on my left. They come to church, and we say, we're going to have a newcomer's lunch this afternoon. And that very afternoon, they're in the back there with new little babies and eating lunch, saying that this is their church. And look, they're still here. So we're doing something okay. Maybe you guys will say something too. Then we flip over Leonard and we go to Helen and she's telling you about this ladies' event that they're having. It's a games night and you must come out and you must come and be a part of it. And this is, it's not about the games, it's about us learning how to knit together as a community. How to make this a good place, a home, to be discipled, to disciple others. You jump to PJ and he's into time travel. Think how amazing that is. We're going back to October 18th to go and eat together as men. Thanks, Pete. So powerful. And I must confess that men's ministry for me, I always sort of pushed against it. You know, we're about the family and it should be about the family. But every time I've gone to a men's ministry event, every time we've sat down and men start opening up, not about, I'm not going to give away all the secrets, but the ideas behind, we can be vulnerable with one another. There is no shame. And the result of that is that we'll pray for one another. We'll stand stronger with one another. And we're going to see the gospel advance because of that. And then they all go home and they lead their families stronger and well. And we have a community that's starting to develop around us that is healthy. Healthy leaders, healthy families, healthy churches, healthy evangelism. Our life groups that happen on a Thursday night are what I would consider the primary, de facto discipleship tool of the church, of our church, but of the church. It's where we get groups of this 150 people divided into groups of 15 or 10, and that means that we are able then to disciple in such a manner that Jesus is clearly discernible. And look, not everyone knows exactly or 100% how to teach, I don't know, Romans 9 through 12, except Eric. And that's okay, because Eric will do that while we learn how to do us, whatever that looks like in your life group. And one day, we will feel like it's right to go and learn Romans again with Eric, and there will be joy, peace, depth of word as we encourage one another and develop one another in what God has called us to. So that's how we grow. That's where we're going to see the fruit of God come. A knock-on effect of that is that we serve this house. So once you've done all of these things and you've committed to growing by joining these groups, there is a track for serving here on a Sunday, or serving on a worship team, or serving in a leadership form on one of these other ministries, whether it's taking Brad and Jen, for instance, they look after the welcome desk, and they look after newcomers, and they look after a whole bunch of things, and it's to take, not take over, but to come alongside them and to say, how can I help? How can I help you as you lead this church? How can I get someone that I can lead as we move along together? And then one of my most favorite ones is share. We want to be able to share what God is doing. And I've been praying for testimonies of God's goodness and grace in the lives of us as a church since I've gotten here. I love people's stories. I love hearing how I came in at one point, here I am, and this is where God wants to take me. I meet with Helen. Eventually got around to getting some of these young adults into our home, which has been amazing. I don't even see Jesse and Mikhail. They partied so hard on Friday, they haven't even made it to church. So that means I can say whatever I want about them. Jesse and Mikhail are two students in our young adults ministry. Jesse's on the leadership team there. And Jesse just got a new job on Friday, which is amazing because he'd been working night shifts. And when you work night shifts, you know that you're actually not really good for anyone, whether it's the next day, whether it's during the day, your whole system is out of sync. And if you work night shifts, man, I applaud you. Brad, don't know how you do it, but you... So Jesse has now moved out of his role as a forklift operator or a skylift operator in a warehouse, and he's going to go and work with he's working in a people environment, helping people with their situations. It's an assisted living environment. Okay, so he's getting the opportunity to move away from shifting boxes and pallets in a freezer to stewarding and ministering into people's lives on a day-to-day basis, 5 days a week. And the encouragement there is his eyes light up and his whole body changes, his body language changes, and he says, I know that this is going to be a season of 6 months because it's back in Vermilion, which is 2 hours away. I know that this is going to be good for me because it's going to set up my future. 4 years in Edmonton, but don't worry, I'm not leaving. I'm going to drive back for the weekends. I'm going to come back on Friday and I'm going to stay until Sunday, and then I'll go back, do my 5 days, and maybe even during the week I'll drive back for a life group and then drive back. He's saying that this is where he's found his people, and he wants to go deeper, and he's structuring his work life now that makes him better for serving and sharing his testimony. So if you see Jesse, you must encourage him. Mikhail, on the other hand, he just wants to go on a missions trip out to the places where the gospel has never been shared before, which is amazing. And God gives you that desire in your heart. But he knows, as good as anyone, that you need to be strengthened in the place that you are. You need to be discipled in order to be able to do that. And I mean, I look at Brian and Valia, they're his profs, so they primary sowing into his life. But then you find him here in a local church with young adults, with playing in a band every second week, learning, defining his skills, getting ready to be used by God. Because I'm going to come now, as I land this, to some examples of people in the Bible that have found themselves in a place that we just overlook. And I don't want anyone, you must understand that today, as I look over here, I don't want anyone to feel as though they cannot do some of these things that I'm telling you and that I'm speaking to you about. I read in Jeremiah 18, and as I say that, the theologians or the guys that have read the Bible would know that that's the story about the potter and the clay. And it's a story about how God is this amazing sculptor, and we are these feeble vessels. But I wanted to come one step back and say, what about the potter? Today, I look across here, and I see a couple of potters. some guys, they find themselves in the right place, because in Jeremiah 18, let me read it to you. No, I didn't save it. Sorry, Jeremiah 18. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go to the potter's house. So the Lord came to Russell in the morning and said, go to Dave's house. And find Dave doing what Dave does. Go and find and see what the potter does. So what I'm getting to with that is that each one of you are about your business during the week. Okay, we've spoken about how important the church is, and we agree. You must agree with me, because I'm the one with the mic, so yes. This is a good place to be. But when I go to Dave's house, and Dave is going to come up and talk in a little bit, sorry. Dave is about his business, and the Lord will reveal, I believe, through our togetherness, something that needs to be shared, whether it's with us here or whether it's for Dave there. Dave's an engineer. Maybe Dave, come up quick. Dave's an engineer. He works for a company that does environmental stuff. Maybe we can get the mic then. And one of the most amazing things is that Dave got hired, must have been about a couple ago. Yeah. And what happened is that he didn't have to go to an office or a big warehouse to go and do his stuff. He got to do it in his garage. So I go and visit Dave often because I like that idea. It was also during COVID and you weren't allowed to meet anywhere else, so why not go to his garage? You become part of my bubble. And up on Dave's wall is a list of things. And it hasn't changed much over the last couple of years, but that list represented some of the ideas Dave had. Some of these amazing inventions. Well, maybe not amazing, but they were amazing to me because I had no idea what they were. And as Dave continues his work inside that garage, I believe that God will give him the most amazing solving problem environment. He's equipped him with the full engineering degree, a PEng, everything that he needs in order to solve the most amazing problems that are out there in this world. But the reason that I have Dave up here is that in preparing for Herman and Yolani's farewell a couple of weeks ago, I came across some pictures, and one of the pictures was Dave and Candace, and Dave was this super lean guy, busy putting together kids' ministry furniture. And I asked Dave on Friday if he would just come for 2 minutes and share about what this church has meant to him. So, go for it, Dave.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to imagine. We talk about like being in community and why do we come here and stuff. For me, like, I can't imagine not being in this community. I can't imagine not coming here, not being involved. And from the time that Candace and I first wandered into the basement of the Blue Quill Hall, it was, you know, we were just flooded and surrounded by community, and it was something that we needed, and it was the place that we needed to be. And it blew us away, and we were kind of in right from the very beginning, and it's grown us so much. It transformed. At the beginning, it was what we needed, and then we realized actually no, it's not just what we need. We're needed here too, right? And so it's in that community where, you know, like iron sharpening iron. You know, we can be Christians and not go to church, but you won't grow if you're not in the community, if you're not actually working it out with other people. So, you know, that's basically what it's meant to us.
Thanks, Dave. We often get to a place where we want to, where we think that that's what we need. So maybe you drive your tractor around every day and you think, no, that's, I just want a business. I just need a business over there. I just want to settle down and want to do that. And I believe God's telling you, you need to glorify Him in what you're doing, where you're at for that season. And I see Simon chuckling at the back there because he actually does drive a tractor almost every day, whether it's shoveling snow or cutting grass or doing something over there. But I want to honor you, Simon, for saying to Brad that you're going to commit to coming to church on Sundays and make it public in front of everyone here so that they can all keep you accountable to it. But Simon, I'm being serious, that there's a call of God in your life. There's a, I want to say, a manning up. There's a shedding off some of the insecurities, and there's a standing on what God has for you. And it's not only for you, but it'll be good for all of us. Don't just sit in the shadows there. Don't just drive your tractor. It's a reason that you're doing that. It's so that you can be close to God, so that you can hear from Him, and then you can do what He tells you to do. Will you get the kids over there? Just this classroom, if you can get them to come and stand over here. Okay. No. The reason why we plant churches, or one of the reasons why we planted this church, why we came over here, was not only to fulfill some humanistic desire to start churches, because that's the right model, that's what you've got to do. We came because we believe that there is a future in us planting churches, healthy local churches. So when we come over here, it is not just to build this building better. It's actually to get involved in your lives, so that we can see you matured, so that, which is the painful part, release into what it is that your future has for you. We've seen that we've planted a church out of this building where we have 20-odd families that are now going off to the north of Edmonton, where there's a healthy local church developing and being built there. Come over here. All you little guys, come and line up here in front of me, face the congregation. Okay, go that way a little bit more. Go a little bit more. Thanks for coming today. How are you guys? How are you, Aurora? You doing good?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Do you like my palm trees? Hello, Heinrich. Hello. Okay, good. Just stand over here. Just all stand. Look at the people in front of you. Okay, thanks, guys. Okay, so we are ending this morning's service by inviting all of you guys up. So maybe let me look at you guys so you can see me. I invited all of you guys up here as the ending to my sermon, because the reason why we plant churches is to be able to see a future before us. And you guys will agree with me that a lot of the times the way we live is not so much for ourselves, but it's for what is to come in future generations. So you see these little guys that are standing here, each one with a future, each one with a call of God. Some of them will not be dancers or actors. But I tell you now, they are all little ladies and little men of God. So another reason we came to plant a church here in Edmonton was to see these little guys flourish, to see them find a place inside a healthy family, which is you guys, and then to see them get released into the fullness of what God's got there for them. We don't want to offend them, but we want to teach them well. And that's why I look at all of our three over there at the moment, but there's a whole troop of them, our kids' ministry leaders, that are championing for us and with us. Parents, it's still your responsibility. And I would encourage you to keep on teaching these little ones. So as we end today with these little guys in front of us, I want you to stand with me, and I want you to extend your hands to the kids, and maybe if you have a child up front, why don't you come and pray for them as I close us off with some prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that we get to hear a bit about your kingdom, and I thank you that each little one represented here is an outworking of why we do the things that we do. I thank you that we get to plant churches. I thank you that we get to represent you well in all that we do. And I pray a blessing over these children. Pray a blessing over the generation that is to come. And I ask you, Lord, that you would protect them, that you would keep them, that you would call them up to be matured, that Holy Spirit, you would bless them today. That you would know that they are valued in the kingdom of God. I just pray that you speak to them as clear as what you can speak, Lord. And that you fill them with a passion for your kingdom and for you. We love you, Lord. And this morning, maybe if you can close your eyes, if you've come here this morning and you felt that you don't have a family to belong to, you don't know where you quite fit, you don't even know what it is that you're doing here, I want to say to you today that you have a family here. You have men and women that are for you. And if you need prayer, if you need to know that, you can come up to the front here and we'll pray with you. But even one step further, with every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus, and what we've done here today is we've said why Jesus is important to us, why we plant churches, but Jesus needs to be real to you today in your life. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to shoot your hand up right now. I'm not going to call you up to the front. I'm going to pray a prayer with you right from up front here. So if you need to know Jesus, maybe lift your hand up now. We'll wait a little bit. You're a good Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation, for this group of people that love you, that adore your name. And I pray a blessing over each and every one of us as we go on our adventure of knitting in to a local church to get to know you better, to spread your gospel to the ends of the earth. May we be filled with a desire to do that, with an excitement to share who you are to everyone that we come in contact with. We give you the praise and the glory this morning. Amen. Ha ha ha.